This call is now being recorded.
Thank you. This is Greg Aaron, and this is the Registration Abuse Policy Working Group meeting for 11 January 2010. Let's begin with our roll call. Gizu, would you be so kind?
With pleasure. Good afternoon, good morning to everyone. On today's call, we have Greg Aaron, Barry Cobb, Mike O'Connor, Rod Rasmussen, Faisal Shah, James Bledel, Philip Corwin. From staff, we have Glenda Saint-Géry, Marika Konings, Margie Milam, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And we have apologies from Martin Sutton. And if I could just please remind everyone to state the names when speaking. Thank you. Over to you, Greg.
Thank you, Gisela. Did we get everyone? Did we get Mikey?
I was on the list.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, let's start by beginning our reviewing our action items from last week, and then we'll talk about the rough draft document we have together, and then we'll go on into our agenda and figure out all those places that we need to devote work so we can finish the report. Martin couldn't join us today, but he says that he is working on the redrafting the cyber squatting recommendation. So we'll wait for that from him. Myself and Mikey and Barry volunteered to write text for the registration versus use issues, including indemnification. And I went ahead and took a shot at that. And I've inserted it into the document I circulated yesterday. So we'll talk more about that, and that's open for everyone's comment. Mikey and Barry, we're going to rewrite the Uniformity of Contracts recommendation, so I think we have something new to look at today. Mikey has written up the issue of reporting compliance and notification, so we'll look at that today. Rod has provided text regarding kind of the support of the organization, dissemination, maintenance, and best practices. We have some material on the list from him. And I tweaked the master document. That document is one I sent yesterday. As I noted, Marika had gotten a template together. And then she started taking material off the wikis and slotting it in, trying to organize it. She got to a certain point last week. Then I took a look, slotted in what I think is the rest of the remaining material from the wiki. And then I also indicated some new material that I'd put in as well. So this is our attempt to kind of put the information in kind of some standardized places and give it some flow. I think we, at this point, have a slot for all of the issues we've reported, but maybe not text for all of them. There's certainly some formatting issues and roughness there, but that's mainly administrative, and Marika will help us take care of that. Of course, these sections about final recommendations and an executive summary are to come, because those will be among the last things we do after we do some more work. So anyway, I think our job mainly now is, first of all of us should read this document to make sure nothing obvious is missing. Anything that we spent time discussing in the working group and we think is worthy of putting in this document. Marika and I tried to do basic editing and cleanup. We want your opinion to make sure we haven't accidentally dropped anything or miscopied. And then in the new material that I've offered also is open for everyone's comment. This document basically represents the kind of the master we'll use going forward. Marika will be the main keeper of this document. And what we should do going forward is, if we have any edits, you can do one of two things. You can indicate an edit in an email, and you can put it up to the list, and then Marika will track those. Or you can take this document and mark it up. And I think from this point forward, the best thing to do is do red lines. So if you're making edits, turn on the editing function, and then we'll see exactly what's being marked up and so forth. We can discuss if everyone likes those edits. And then that will also allow Marika to incorporate those edits that may be coming in from more than one direction. So does that process seem okay to everybody? Are you comfortable with that?
Sounds good.
What's wrong?
Okay. Okay. Well, it took a lot of work because we've actually discussed a lot and created a lot of material. So it is gratifying though to kind of see it coming together. We got an idea at least of the shape of things. And over the next four meetings, we have to be very diligent in filling in the missing sections. And so we'll start taking a crack at some of those today. I imagine, though, that we're going to have to continue to do a lot of work offline during the week as well, though, just because of the number of things we have to tackle. So I would encourage you to continue to post your comments or edits up to the list. I was a few days late in getting this done, so apologies. It turned out to be a little more work than I thought, but I think it was worth it. Please continue to work during the week, and that'll give everybody a chance to react to your work. We basically have 1 month from today to finish up our work, because on February 12th, we need to ship off the document to the staff. Marika will need to submit that over to the GNSO, because that's our deadline for materials to be submitted before the ICANN meeting in early March. Mikey?
First, kudos both to you and Marika for a job incredibly well done. But a question, and that is, do we want to prepare some sort of summary slideshow? Are we going to be on stage going through this report with in any of the meetings, and if so, do we want to do a PowerPoint spiel at the same time?
Yeah, the answer is yes, because probably two things might happen in Kenya. One is we need to give an update to council, and then second, we could use the same probably presentation in an open meeting. In the ICANN meetings, we've always had a meeting to invite everyone who's interested in to hear about our work. We probably can't create that slideshow, though, until after the 12th of February, because then we'll have our recommendations and so forth finalized. So I think after we get the paper done, we'll tackle that.
Cool. Sounds great.
Okay. Marika, you have the floor?
Yeah, this is Marika. I just wanted to add as well that, of course, the idea is as well to have a very good executive summary for this document to make sure as well that for those that don't have the time to read through the whole report, which will be quite a number of pages, that people can as well refer to the executive summary, and then hopefully in combination with presentations and a slideshow, we'll be able to have constructive and substantive discussion in Nairobi.
That's absolutely vital, because it looks like our paper is going to be at least 70 pages, if not much longer. So it's really important for us to especially focus our work in the next month on those recommendations, because that's what the council and all the other readers will really concentrate on. So we have to do a good job of working out our recommendations, and then those will probably appear collected somewhere, maybe even in the executive summary, so we draw people's attention to them. Okay. So, if no more questions, I invite you to read that document and start discussing it on the list and so forth. And we could move on to the work that folks have been doing on recommendations and other things. We could start with uniformity of contracts. And I believe we have some material from Barry that's new.
Hi, Greg. This is Barry. I'm driving right now, so I don't have what I wrote in front of me. Basically, I just restructured or combined recommendation one and two, which you wouldn't be able to tell that I combined them. And then recommendation three basically has sunset and has evolved into Mikey's material. And recommendation four, the best practices stuff, is evolving into Rod's material. So if somebody'd like to just reread what I wrote for the only recommendation for U of C, and I think we can wrap that part up, hopefully.
Okay. So sounds good. You want to walk us through this version that's on the screen?
This is Mikey. Let me do that since Barry's driving, and you know, we don't want him to crash his car while he...
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to read it for Barry just so he can remember, and then we can go through it. The recommendation is that the U of C recommends, and it might be something like the U of C subteam recommends that a formal PDP to evaluate whether a minimum baseline of registration abuse provisions should be created for all in-scope ICANN agreements, and if created, how such language would be structured to address registration abuse. And the second part reads, the work group also recommends that while outside our scope, a similar process be undertaken that addresses malicious use of domains. Barry and I kind of stared at this a bit, and I think it's pretty darn good myself, but there it is read out loud for Barry. Barry, do you want to add anything to that?
Nope, that's good. Thank you.
Okay. James has raised his hand.
Hi, thanks, Greg, and thanks, Barry and Mikey, for putting this together in such a concise bit of text here. I did have a couple of thoughts about perhaps... I think friendly edits, I'll leave that to you guys, just how friendly they are. The first part is that at the tail end of the last sentence there, where it would say, for example, and if created, how such language would be structured to address, I'd like to insert the most common forms before registration abuse.
This is Mikey. I think that's a friendly edit that I'd accept. I think that what we run the risk of otherwise is getting lost in very long tail kinds of abuse, and I think that that's a good idea to sort of zero people in on the main channels. As I read this, I think one of the things that we always want to do is also leave a mechanism available to update these in the event that new abuses pop up. So we might want to also add a clause to that effect, because that way what we could do is take on the most common ones now, and then leave an avenue open for revisions if a new one becomes common. How about that for an approach?
Yeah, I think that that's good to capture in there as well. And I agree with your concern, Mikey, and it was one that I shared, that if it's not limiting in some respect, it could turn into a kind of a rabbit hole exercise where you're chasing new contracts for something that has happened once or twice in the universe. And the second point is, and I want to say this in such a way that isn't controversial, but I think that if we are calling for a PDP that is recommending new responsibilities for contracted parties, we have to make sure that we phrase the language of the recommendation so that it's palatable and something that doesn't sound necessarily onerous, it's something they can get behind as opposed to something that they feel they have to defend against. So I just think that, you know, it's important to keep that in mind when we're constructing these recommendations. That's not to say we should water them down so that they're not effective, but we should be looking for ways to enlist the help of the folks that are ultimately going to have to implement these things. And then the second point that I see Greg raise his hand. I apologize for jumping ahead, Greg, but the second point that I wanted to make here is the second sentence. I'm not sure how I'm struggling a little bit with the concept that the working group is recommending something that it acknowledges and that's in the recommendation is outside of its scope. So I feel like that's kind of a Mobius loop there. I'm having trouble with that language. One thought would be to, if we could somehow insert the phrase voluntary best practices in there at some point, because I think that when I see the phrase similar process be undertaken, I'm thinking, first of all, the recommendation says it's out of scope, then it says similar process be undertaken, similar process being that all in-scope ICANN agreement. So I feel like that's a self-contradicting sentence. So I'm having a little bit of trouble with that, and I don't really have a good rewrite for it yet. But I wondered if anyone else saw that kind of recursive issue there. Or maybe it's just me.
This is Mikey. Let me take a crack at that one. I think that maybe the way we address that is that instead of saying our scope, why don't we say, well, outside the scope of this working group, outside the scope of this working group's effort, because that way we're aiming the scope question at a different thing than we are in the first sentence where we're aiming it at contracts. I think that that solves the Mobius loop problem. It probably doesn't solve the underlying issue that you're raising. But I think it's important to hold on to the notion that even though we pruned the branches of the tree pretty aggressively through this working group to only focus on registration abuse, that there is a giant issue out there in terms of use abuse that needs a look from the ICANN policy community. It gets into all that stuff we talked about in terms of rapid takedown and indemnification and language to enable things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But does it belong here then with the UOC, or does it belong in a more general or you know, it almost sounds like it is more of an overarching conclusion or you know, part of the executive summary, or possibly part of the text that Rob is working on relative to registration abuse versus youth abuse. I'm just putting out suggestions here. Does it really fit with this particular section?
Oh, I could get behind moving it as long as we don't lose the notion that we recommend that it's taken, that somebody take a look at it. And Rod's section could probably be a good spot for it. I just don't want to lose the recommendation. I don't really care where it goes.
Right. This is Greg. May I step in at this point? I have a couple of thoughts.
Go ahead.
Okay. The first part of the recommendation would actually be a recommendation from the entire working group. Now, that's what we insert into the report. So that would need to be changed, yeah, to the REP.
As far as the malicious use, you probably haven't had a chance to read it yet, but we have now a section of the paper about malicious uses of domain names, because it's this big issue, as Mikey said. And what's in there so far is it kind of outlines the issue. It says we've got these issues that are not wholly registration issues. They're what people are doing with their domain names, and everybody is kind of concerned about them. And it talks about basically how takedowns work today, and who has the authority to do that kind of thing, and talks about the indemnification. What is to come there is any recommendations. And I think the issue is the pure use issues are out of scope in general, as we've discussed. But there are these intersections, and the question is, where are the intersections with registration? You know, for example, we've toyed with the idea that who is availability is one of those intersections, because if people can't figure out who owns a domain name or who's administrating it, then you can't mitigate a problem with it, right? I think that the malicious use thing could be, we shouldn't lose the issue, but maybe it just moves down into that malicious use section. And we have to have some more conversation about what the recommendations and intersections with registration issues are. Mikey, you want to jump in?
Oh, yeah, I just raised my hand again. Maybe the way to handle that is to take that whole malicious use section and stick it in our meta issues portion of the report, because it has a lot of the same issues and attributes. It spans a bunch of working groups. It's an issue that doesn't lend itself handily to the existing PDP GNSO policymaking process, and a lot of working groups are sort of bumping into it. And then maybe we work a recommendation in at the end of that, in the same way that we're working them into the other meta issues. Does that sound like?
Yeah, because and because it's a big issue, I actually I've broken it out as a new kind of TFC one level issue. I don't know exactly how many other groups it touches. I suppose, you know, like when registrars are doing transfers, for example, if you can't figure out who owns the domain name, there's some issues there with verifying who the registrant is, et cetera, et cetera. But there are certainly some touch points. The other point I wanted to make about the recommendation is that in general, what has happened, I think, historically, is you identify a problem, and then you figure out the appropriate solution to the problem. And so identifying the problem is the first step in policy or in engineering. And what we're talking about is if there are mandated solutions, a lot of times those either get worked into contracts or they become consensus policies, which are by definition applicable to everybody. So my question is, can you create a baseline without really talking about a specific problem you're trying to solve? Because every time we do create policy, we do create requirements and solutions. It's kind of amorphous, and I'm having a hard time getting a handle on it. So, okay, I see several hands up. I see maybe we should go Margie, then James, then Mikey.
Okay. I'm actually commenting on an earlier point on the whole OPE issue. I tried to clarify this throughout the working group meetings, but the distinction that you've been making about, you know, whether it's sole, you know, it's related to use or registration, that analysis related to consensus policy issues. So it's not necessarily out of scope if you're trying to suggest that there be work done in things that may not lead to a consensus policy, for example, a best practice. Or a contract change or something to that effect. So I just want to, you know, make sure that we're not limiting in our report, because that's not that's not the way we, at least on, from a staff perspective, have looked at the scope issue. It's just, you know, there's different kinds of policy work that can be done, and you know, and it maybe it can't rise to the level of consensus policy, but it could be, you know, a recommendation for a best practice or a guideline or something like that.
Right, and a guideline or a best practice wouldn't be policy.
Well, I think that's not true, actually. We look at policy from a number of perspectives, and in our PDP working group, we talk about the very fact that policy can be a best practice. It's just not a, you know, enforceable consensus policy like what, you know, what we all understand if we're trying to address something that's within the picket fence, for example.
And Margie, to clarify, when I was talking about policy, I mean binding policy.
Okay. So, okay. And that's, I just want to make sure we're not mixing up, you know, phrases in our report, because there is certainly work that can be done on making recommendations for best practices, for example.
Oh, absolutely. And it looks like we're currently working on how to do that in several spots. So I just wanted to clarify that when I was talking about policy, I was specifically talking about something that's binding, either a consensus policy or contractual changes or something like that. We all do recognize that we have a number of options available to us, and that includes best practices, absolutely.
Okay, great, thanks.
I think James is next.
Hi, Greg, James here, and I wanted to go back to something you touched on briefly about the effectiveness of whether or not a policy or a recommendation can recommend a consensus policy without containing containing specifics about what forms of abuse it's attempting to address. And one of my thoughts was that you know, without being too prescriptive, a consensus policy can be something to the effect of, you know, a registrar will have an abuse team, it will be staffed, it will have, you know, these methods of contact, and it will participate, you know, in the, you know, and coordinate with other registrars and registries to, you know, to address these types of sites. I mean, it can be more of a generic what a registrar should be doing without really... it can describe the infrastructure or the facilities without really diving into what those facilities and infrastructure are doing. And I think there's some value in that. The second thing I wanted to mention is I'm just a little concerned about the idea of what we're putting the pond that we're dipping a toe into a little bit here is that I keep seeing that if we wedge this door open a little bit and start to say that, you know, it is within ICANN's remit to address content and use issues when it comes to abuse. I think I saw this also in the strategic plan about building up registrant trust on the Internet, and that's also, you know, I think an expansion of ICANN's scope here. Because I think what's going to happen here is that we will ultimately have different efforts to look at how we can enforce those from a compliance perspective and how we can convert best practices or recommendations into binding policy. And I think that that's just one step down a road that really has no end and results in a much larger expansion of ICANN's role in the idea of being the policeman of the Internet. So I just wanted to get that on the record, that I'm concerned that when we even take a small step in that direction, that it's not too hard to see what's going to follow on that maybe a year or two down the road.
Okay. Thank you, James. Mikey, I see your hand up.
Thanks, Greg. It's Mikey. A couple of points. To James's issue, not issue, but comment, that this this is indeed the nose of the camel in the tent. I think that that camel is already in the tent in the high-security TLD discussion. That discussion is moving very rapidly in that direction, and I think it's going to startle folks at the breadth and scope of the recommendations. So I think that's perhaps one that's already out of the gate. And I think that this gets me back to the meta-issues rant. I really think that this is one where we probably need to acknowledge and coordinate with at least HSTLD and maybe some of the other working groups that are out there to make sure that this discussion is orderly. But it's rocking. The second thought that I had is to your original question, Greg, which was we need to have a problem statement before we start working on a solution. And one approach to that would be to sift pretty quickly back through the list of abuses that we started with and assemble the part of the list that we moved into the use column and said during that discussion, okay, these aren't registration abuses, these are use abuses, and include that list in sort of the preamble to this meta issue discussion. The more I listen to this, the keener I am on the idea of moving this whole thing into another meta issue, not unlike the two that Rod and I have whipped up and that, Greg, you've already started working on.
Okay. By the way, I see Barry is back. Barry, I don't know. Did you catch all the discussion?
Yes, I did. I've been online all the time.
Okay. Does anyone else have any comments?
This is Rod. I just wanted to put a nickel in or whatever on that. I think that, and I think most everybody knows that I have different ideas about what ICANN's scope is. So we're not. I don't know if we'll ever have agreement, because there's a lot of people with different opinions about what the scope is, use versus registration, all that good stuff. But that's why we're talking about it and getting this down on paper. So, but I think that it's important to get these things defined and have the organization and the community take a stab or a stand at where they want to draw the line. So things are well defined. So I think this work is important no matter what. I have a fear that if people want to say that we're not, we don't want to talk about certain issues or we don't want to deal with certain issues, that will create a vacuum. And into that vacuum, nature abhors a vacuum, so somebody will step in with some sort of bright ideas. I don't know who that somebody would be, but I have the big G government as a thought there. So I think it's very good for us to really figure out where we're going to do pigeonhole these different issues. And having some meta issues that are then discussed in other forums that come out of this is, I think, hopefully an important outcome. So I just want to throw that in there since we're talking about this at this point. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Rod. James?
Yeah, real quickly, if I could just clarify, and I don't think that... I know how this seems with the registrar, sounding evasive on some of these issues, but really what I want to get across is this idea that if we start to address, as Mike, you said, the camel in the tent, which is that ICANN is responsible through its contractual arrangements for use abuse activities on the Internet. I think that it's less about actually solving and addressing those problems, and it becomes more of an exercise of putting someone's neck on the chopping block
when they do occur. And I think that, you know, it's something that we should be mindful of, and it's something that is going to take just as much innovation and cooperation as it took to build and operate the Internet to address these folks, as opposed to just finding this path of least resistance and let's just make ICANN and registrars and registries accountable for it, and we'll call that abuse issue solved. So I just want to be careful about in a working group environment just kind of expanding the responsibilities of all those parties.
I would ask everybody to read through the malicious use material that's newly available, because it walks through some of those issues. I think one question before us, which might be satisfactory, is we all acknowledge that the malicious use is a problem, and all responsible parties want to do what they can to help deal with that, because the Internet is literally composed of millions of different parties, all of whom are in control or supervising various assets. It's this interdependent environment. I think the question is, perhaps, what innovations, as James said, might be possible within that ICANN context. The document talks about some of these indemnification and scope issues. There might be some things, though, that we can find that would be, you know, really substantive things that could help with that malicious use issue. So I encourage you, again, read that material, and we should talk about ideas for recommendations coming out of that.
Okay.
Does anybody else have any thoughts on this language? What should be our next step on this language up on screen? Does anyone want to work on it further? Mikey?
Just to summarize what I think I understand, and maybe this is the path that we take, I think that this recommendation now gets split into two parts. The first part stays the way it is, and the second part, the second or the last sentence, gets moved to the malicious use versus registration abuse discussion that you've talked about, and then perhaps we promote that discussion to the meta issue category. And I'd be happy to work on the gang that sort of pushes that along.
Well, when you say meta issue, isn't uniformity of contrast kind of is the meta issue, right? Or is it a different meta issue?
No, uniformity of contracts, I think, is a solution to a problem, and sits pretty much on its own bottom. The three meta issues that I see so far are the reporting one that I wrote up, the best practices one that Rod wrote up, and this one. And there may be a couple more before we're done. And what characterizes meta issues is that they span more than one working group. They present challenges in terms of getting resolved in the existing policy processes, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that this conversation that we've just had convinces me that this is just like that. It's complicated. It's hard. The existing policy process doesn't lend itself to the discussion. We've got James's scope issues, which I agree with, et cetera. And so for all those reasons, I'd like to see it moved into that sort of important for the community but hard to solve in the traditional way pile.
What might you call this meta issue? What name can we attach to it so we can refer to it?
I'd call it registration or use abuse.
You know, use abuse.
I think the title that I haven't gone back and looked at your language, but I I read it last night pretty late and thought, pretty good start. And whatever it's titled in there is fine, but use abuse is what I would think of it as.
Okay. Thank you, Mikey. I see James's hand.
Yeah, one recommended title might be The Role of ICANN and Contracted Parties in Non-Registration Abuse.
Ooh, big scope. You really want to go that wide on the scope? That's everything else in the galaxy.
Well,
you might want to just narrow it to the role
but if
of
we're saying,
non-contracted parties in use abuse.
I need to know the difference between use abuse and non-registration abuse. I mean, I think once we pass the threshold of registration abuse, everything else by default kind of moves into the non-registration abuse.
I see. Non-registration type. Of,
yes.
Okay, got it.
And for me, I find a slight reduction to be helpful in my mind. This is Greg. Malicious use are these basically e-crime issues, but there are these also other non-registration things like are people doing false affiliation and putting meta tags in their web pages or using dirty words on their websites, all that. I mean, some of that stuff is, I think, so far out of scope, just we shouldn't even talk about it for at all. The malicious use stuff, though, is a persistent issue within ICANN, and it's the stuff that gets ICANN a lot of criticism because people are saying, you know, ICANN should be doing something about these things. The question is what? I think they're a little different because one of the things people do is the criminals do specifically register domain names specifically to carry out those issues. So that's why the heading malicious use of domain names in the paper is useful for me to wrap my head around. So anyway. So we have a proposal to take the second sentence and work it into maybe the malicious use section or whatever, or we have another proposal to create a meta issue, which is everything outside of registration abuse. Any comments on those two directions that are possible? Mikey?
This is Mikey. I think I like the idea of keeping the container around malicious use. That seems like a big and tasty and difficult topic, and then promoting that container to the meta issue category. I wouldn't want to promote everything outside of registration abuse. I agree that gets awfully big, so I like the idea of drawing the line around it as malicious use of domain names, promoting it to meta issue, and moving this recommendation into that.
Greg, this is James. I'm sorry, I don't have my hand up.
Go ahead.
Just building on what Mikey was just saying there, is it, and I think going back to what you were saying just prior, is it worthwhile to draw a distinction between what I would call the criminal malicious use versus the what we might also call civil or annoyances that kind of encompass all of the things you mentioned before about inappropriate use of meta tags and so forth?
In some cases, we've kind of done that by saying, well, some of these issues actually end up being another type of abuse, like cyber squatting. We were able to kick. We determined that several things were actually best handled through the cyber squatting thing. There's that issue we've discussed in the past, which is the borders get a little fuzzy because some things are defined a little differently depending on jurisdiction or so forth. That said, I've always kind of thought that a lot of these things are I think the hardcore criminal stuff is stuff that I think a lot of people can agree upon. I mean, people, I think, can generally agree that, say, phishing, it's just all about theft and fraud, and that's a problem no matter where you are. I do think the criminal aspect helps limit the conversation to an arena which reasonable people can probably agree, those fuzzy borders aside. But did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's just some. I think that in our catalog of all the different abuse types, maybe it's worthwhile breaking down what category or level of severity each one of those would be involved in. If we're going to say that we're going to focus on the malicious things and maybe stay away from some of the more annoyances or vandalism of the internet.
Any other thoughts on that?
This is Mikey. It seems to me that that would be a worthy, you know, just like we went through the exercise in this working group of trying to decide which things to focus on, it's probably a good idea for that working group to do that as well. So we might want to just kick the can down the road on that one.
All right. So on the screen, we've got it split now. Should we insert the first section? I guess I for now, put it in the uniformity of contracts area that spawned it. Is that okay?
The second section or the first section?
The first section. And then the second.
Yeah, I think that's fine, although that sort of report style kinds of stuff, you may want to get to the point where they're all in one place so people can read them, but however it flows best is fine.
Yeah. I mean, at some point we'd collect all the recommendations from all the spots throughout.
Yeah.
But each section of the paper will also have a recommendation section, so you kind of, that's the conclusion the group reached. So why don't we put the first section in the contracts, uniformative contracts section. For now, at least, can we put the second bit down in the malicious use section? Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, super. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Thanks again to Barry and Mikey for tackling this over the last week. Why don't we move on then to the next thing, which could be the meta issue of reporting and compliance and notification. I believe Mikey has the floor for this one.
Thanks, Greg. This is Mikey. On the screen, you see the little write-up that I, with the able assistant of my joined at the hip buddy Barry, put together this last week. It really would be handy to have that transmogrification time-space portal between our two houses that I thought we had at the beginning of the call. The first part that you see on the screen right now is I decided to try and describe what meta issues are. And so this is really a chunk that could probably get fleshed out a little bit to explain to folks outside the working group what in the dickens are they talking about. And those three little bullets were my first try at what makes an issue a meta issue. And I won't reread them for you, but I think that paragraph is a good start. It's a little thin and might need a little beefing up for the final report. So anyway, I want to just sort of separate that off as one topic of discussion. What is a meta issue is something that I think would be helpful perhaps for lots of working groups. And then the rest of the document is describing the issue of uniformity of reporting. And as we run down, really what I tried to do here was summarize what we said on the call. And I don't know, I think I'm going to hit a few highlights. In the problem statement, I heard on the call really three groups of people who have this problem. One problem is that working groups and advisory groups like us often find it hard to do our work because we don't have really good data other than anecdotal evidence on which to base a discussion. Another problem is that end users and registrants have a hard time sometimes figuring out how to report the abuse or what to do if they experience problems. And then the final one that at least came out on the call, this list could be longer, is that registrars and registries sometimes are frustrated when their customers file complaints in the wrong place or the wrong way or without asking for help first. Or, you know, I mean, we've heard a fair amount of this discussion in, especially in PEDNR. So, you know, I'm sort of mimicking McKaylee Nalen. This is the McKaylee Nalen memorial sentence, because this is often his comment in PEDNR. Then what we talked about in the recommendations, I pulled a few ideas that came out of some of the other working groups that I'm sitting on, IRTP and PEDNR. The first one, this just-in-time education notion, really came out a bunch of times in PEDNR that says, look, you know, the right time to deliver education and information about this is when the person is in the midst of the problem. And so there's an opportunity to improve the delivery of knowledge through a process like this. Its goal, one of the goals is clearly to improve the quality of the complaints so that most of them are valid and that as few as possible are just plain erroneous, which is another topic of discussion. There are a fair number of erroneous complaints right now. Another goal would be to be more effective in the policy and compliance kinds, or no, this policy dash compliance means the compliance activities around a given policy. And then the next one is really improving the PDP kinds of process, the improving the data availability. And then the last one is kind of ham-handedly worded, but this was a point that Greg raised, and I didn't do a really good job of writing this, but there is sort of a question, which comes first, the discussion of the problem or definitive data describing it. And Greg's suggestion was that perhaps the way to do this was to do studies. And I thought that that was a pretty productive line of discussion for the group that picks up this banner and runs with it. And so then the structure that we were describing was that every policy should have four things. A mechanism to do reporting of a policy violations by anybody who's impacted. I dropped out words like registrants, registrars, registries, end users, and just said whoever's affected. I did that on purpose. Some sort of standards as to how contracted parties make visible this stuff, where to report it, definitions of what the reportable problems are. This is sort of another conversation that's come up a lot in Tedner is the plain English or plain language versions of contracts. And then some just-in-time education if the problem that the problem the person has is really better addressed somewhere else. And that piece is a tracking component and a compliance component. And then at the very end, we described the working groups or advisory groups that are having some facet of this discussion either right now or in the past. So there's my little write-up. I just hand it back to you, Greg, and let you run the meeting, and then I'll just sort of field questions as they come.
Okay. Thank you for that, Mikey. Thank you, as always, for your very diligent work. There was something in that material that struck me as extremely rational, which was, if you're going to have a policy, have a way for people to report when it's not working or violations, et cetera. So those 4 points you mentioned were very practical and I thought wise. And then it got me thinking about, well, do we have some policies right now that we don't have reporting mechanisms for? Some are, sometimes we have good ones, or fairly good ones, I guess. The WHO is an accuracy reporting system is fairly well known at this point, and the recent material that the ICANN Compliance Department sent us shows that over time how they've improved that, because they made some changes because they were getting a lot of reports which were not accurate or malformed in some cases, and they made some changes, and now the accuracy and relevance rate is way up. That was interesting to see. And we've got reporting for some other things like transfer disputes. There's a system where registrars have to do certain reporting and they can file grievances or challenges. Are there any, and of course, I guess then ICANN's also got this general email box where you can make any kind of a complaint. So it's a general place to go. Do we have policies right now where the reporting is notably absent?
This is Mikey. Let me dive in before even hands go up. The one that immediately comes to my mind is in the Pedner discussion, where there is, it's clear that there is massive confusion as to which parts of the policies apply and which time frames. There's even massive confusion, at least in my mind. And if it's in my mind, then the typical user's got to be totally blown away on the definitions of the phases of the process post-expiry. And so a lot of this write-up really is prompted by the experience I'm having in the Pedner working group, and would use that one as a great example of one where all of these, I think that whole process would benefit hugely from a good reporting mechanism like the one that we're describing here.
And I don't, I'm not tracking the Pedner work at all. In that group, for example, what is there an existing policy, and then people are trying to figure out is there an existing policy, and then are there problems expressing it, or people reporting issues with it?
There are a couple other folks on this call, at least, who are on that, James and Barry, so feel free to dive in. Let me keep going. I think it's all of the above. The Pedner discussion isn't nearly as tidy as this one. Our leader is not nearly as well organized as you are, Greg. And so as a result, the conversation itself is very confusing. But in addition to that, there are clearly a lot of different paths that a domain name takes once it expires that depend on choices by registries and choices by registrars. Some registries offer an auto-renew grace period cycle. Others don't. Some registrars incorporate that option into their expiry cycle. Others don't. Barry and I have been sort of working on trying to describe all this, and the deeper we get into it, the more confused we get. And so I think the answer to your question on that is all of the above. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of variance. There are probably a fair number of people in the ICANN registrar registry community who understand this pretty well, but as a sort of middle-aged member of the ICANN community, I can tell you that I am completely baffled by the longer I sit on those calls, the more confused I get as to which part applies and which policy applies and even which version of which policy applies.
Any additions? And then I see Marika's hand is raised.
This is Rod. I had a thought on an area where we ran into reporting problems, and it was a fairly major issue, and that was on registrar ownership control and involvement of known felons in running a registrar, and that was in the S-Domains case, where it was literally, almost impossible to figure out how to go about reporting something that was contractually being the registrar in question wasn't meeting their contract obligations. So there's an area where there's not really, it's not really like it's happening every day, but there's no kind of methodology that's standardized and published or anything like that around that kind of an issue.
Okay. Thank you. Marika has her hand raised. Why don't we go to Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I just wanted to clarify something in relation to the post-expiration domain name recovery discussion, and maybe just to clarify as well that maybe they're talking about, policy with a capital P, and, policies or practices that registrars have, because in relation to, there is an expired domain name deletion policy that exists, which is a consensus policy, which has certain elements that are in the contract, but a large part of the things that Mikey, you were referring to, are actually not prescribed in that policy or part of the contract. So I think, we do need to be careful that, looking at this mechanism, it might not, even if you would have something in place like that, it might not work for post-expiration domain name recovery, because certain elements are there around which there is a confusion about what the practice is or what the rules are. There are actually no rules as per consensus policies. So I just wanted to clarify that. And the actual contractual provisions, currently they are reported through the compliance department, so any complaints received in relation to those specific provisions are dealt with the normal complaint procedure. And you're right there are no specific disputes, resolution process or something like that specifically for that policy. So that might be something separate to consider indeed when developing consensus policies, whether something specific is needed for that kind of policy that you're looking at, like has been done in other areas.
This is Mikey. Let me quickly respond to that. That's part of the reason why I put that section in there about the just-in-time education, because I don't know whether there's any more policy required. What I do know is that the mechanism by which a person who's frustrated or experiencing a problem learns about their options and learns which things are covered by policy and which things are not, that process today is pretty rugged. And to the extent that the process of reporting a policy violation could educate people on the limits of that policy and their options if it's not covered by policy, I think would be a huge help. And perhaps reduce the amount of policies that we create. Because I think in many cases people have problems and the immediate answer is, well, let's create a policy around it, when in fact what people need to be is educated better as to what their choices are.
Mikey, this is Greg. If I may, what you just said, I think, should be expressed in the written material somehow. Because you just put a very understandable wrapper around it, which is sometimes people don't know what their options are, what the policy is, and then they don't know what to do about it if they think there's been a violation or there's a problem. That kind of like is a good issue statement in some ways for me.
I'd be happy to insert that somewhere in this thing. I do love these MP3 recorded calls. Makes it a lot easier to do that. So I'll take that as an action.
I found it useful for bringing it into a focus I could understand. Your plain-spoken homespun talk was good for me. And you know that's a compliment.
We are kidding Marika a lot in Pedner about her use of the word yep. She's got that down cold, by the way.
Yep,
I really need to look back in the transcript if it's always me saying that. I suspect it's someone.
No. We're teaching you that. Lots of us use that term, but you've picked up the usage exactly spot on.
Have we folks from Middle America rubbed off on you, Marika?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
I think you might have.
Okay. So what's our next step on this meta issue that and this material that Mikey has brought to us? Does it need any additional work? And then also, where in our report should it be placed? Mikey might do some fine-tuning, as we just discussed. In addition, anybody else have any questions or comments on it? James?
Yeah, I just want to thank Mikey for bringing this up. And one potential, I think we need to get this in there early. I apologize, Greg. I haven't done anything more than skim the document that you sent out yesterday. But I think that, this in the discussion of the background or the problem statement of the pre-PDP, we should probably get this out there as early as possible.
Okay. And no apologies necessary, because I just got that stuff out. As a meta issue, I think could benefit from being up there somewhere in the early discussions in the paper. So let me take what Mikey creates, and we'll find a slot for it somewhere up earlier, because early in the paper is where we deal with the kind of these scope and other meta issues that set the scene for a lot of the other discussions. Okay, so let's take that as an action item. And are there, if no other points, we can move on. Any parting thoughts? Okay, if not, let's go to Rod's material, which is about best practices, dissemination, and so forth. So, Rod, why don't you take it away?
I'm going to need about 30 seconds. Thanks.
Okay. In the meantime, if we could bring up on screen, this is the material that Rod had mailed in early this morning.
All right, sorry about that. You caught me just as I was pulling into the schoolyard here. So.
I understand completely.
About 2 weeks ago, I was on this call. I watched one parent back right in their car right into another parent's car in the little drop-off area. I still don't know if I'm going to have to appear in court to testify on how they smashed into him and drove off. So it's fun. It's amazing what you can do at 5 miles an hour to another car. So I want to thank Mikey for a great format that I stole and threw some of the thoughts together I had on this topic of collection and dissemination of best practices. And I did expand a little bit on your definition of meta issues at the beginning of that, Mikey. So there's a couple of thoughts there, and I'm doing this from memory as I'm driving. But
I'll take those as friendly amendments.
And still, I think there's some more fleshing out to do, but I at least added a couple of thoughts in that direction. But I like the overall thrust of the meta issue topic of, you know, this kind of crosses areas. I guess I'm on my third group, so I guess I'm still a relative newbie compared to some people in the ICANN community. But the same issues keep coming up over and over again in some form or fashion. I think it would be good to you know, as these working groups are going along, to try and coalesce these issues that keep going across the entire gamut and either, you know, deal with them head on or figure out a way to coordinate actions amongst groups to deal with these kinds of things. The meat of this, I added a handy lookup of what, you know, best practices means, at least as far as the wiki world is concerned. Just to kind of help set some context. And also to get in this concept of that best practices are living and breathing, because I think it's really important in the context in which they came up with, in this case, is in dealing with abuse issues or, in many cases, malicious use issues and criminal issues and things like that, where best practices are very fast moving because the landscape changes, you know, on a regular basis or irregular basis, but rapidly. So it's getting that concept in there. And what I find is that often in these groups is that we'll come up against issues that are hard, that are not easily translated into policy or contractual obligations, but yet there are really good ideas that people would like to see, you know, push throughout the industry so that we can make things work better, whatever that is. And so people tend to say, well, that's a best practice. Well, let's make sure we capture that as a best practice. And you'll see ideas and things like that in coming out of papers and things like that. But there really isn't a central repository or methodology or any of those thing like that to, you know, kind of codify what those best practices are, make sure the industry participants are actually aware of them. Touching on the measurement issue, you know, figuring out, well, are people actually implementing them? How are they implementing them? Things like that. So there's not really, there's this kind of this great idea of, well, we're going to capture this as best practice, but there's no follow through. So the concept here is that putting kind of some sort of stake in the ground, say, well, let's propose that the ICANN community come up with a way to handle its best practices. And, you know, and I don't really want to stipulate at this point how to do that. That would be up for that other, you know, whatever group would we work on it. But, you know, try and drive something out of this to say, you know, this we really need to look at this. If we're going to keep coming up with best practices, how are we going to handle them? How are we going to, you know, collect them, update them, distribute them? Who does it? How do they do it? How do you measure it? All those issues. So I've got kind of an outline on that. And some questions in my analysis section, mainly, and a couple of comments around the security. Because one of the things about best practices when it comes to security and things like that is typically you don't want to put those out in public because then the bad guys know, oh, okay, well, they're doing that, this, and this, so I'll just go and do this other thing and get around that. So we've got a community, the ICANN community, is supposed to be open and have transparency, et cetera, and that, you know, fights against the idea of providing things secure and keeping criminals and malicious abuse at bay. So, you know, how do you balance that? So those are all questions I brought up in that. That's, I think, kind of the outline of what's there, and just my thoughts and stake in where that should go. Is it?
Hey, thank you. See Mikey's hand.
I just wanted to congratulate Rod on a great format. Boy, what a nice format. but also to comment that, you know, best practices could fall outside of security as well. And I think one of the things we might want to do is make it clear that the security ones we want to keep secret, or at least keep inside the family, but that the non-security ones we'd really like to disseminate quite publicly. You know, I think that the Pedner discussion would benefit a lot from some best practice archives that are, you know, completely out in the public internet. And so that's the only thought that I would add to that particular part of the analysis is, you know, not necessarily limiting the scope of best practice collection and dissemination to security-related issues.
Yeah, Mikey, this is Rod. That was my intent. I apologize if it didn't come out that way, but
yeah.
I certainly was just trying to differentiate between the two, but we should be collecting them all and disseminating as much as possible the ones that are not sensitive.
Yeah, yeah. And, I think we can amp that part of the analysis up and get that point across.
This is Greg. I have my hand raised, so I'll go next. What I see happening is we've toyed in this group certainly with some ideas for best practices, and they could certainly be very useful across the spectrum for all kinds of issues at ICANN. I think in our paper we can make specific recommendations if we want for a topic that should maybe have best practices created for it. And then what I see is Rod is saying in general, a meta issue is that ICANN needs a way to foster the creation and maintenance of those. Because you can recommend that best practices be created, but then if you don't have a structure for doing that, that's difficult. So this would be another meta issue we put into the paper. I have a question for the staff, which is there any group currently working within ICANN, in the GNSO or elsewhere, that's thinking about the structures we use to do this kind of thing? I know that there's been some, there are groups looking at GNSO processes, for example. Are there relevant places that we should specifically reference or that could take this issue on if we referred it to them?
This is Marika. I'm not aware of any groups that are specifically looking at that, but I'm happy to check. I mean, all the groups that are looking at GNSO improvements are looking more at the processes and procedures of the GNSO and doing their daily business. And as far as I'm aware, I'm not looking at what to do or how you do develop best practices and how that should be done. But I'm happy to look further into that. And if this issue gets to the GNSO Council, the GNSO Council might decide to task a certain group with such a subject if they deem that it fits with their mandate or what they've been doing so far.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of the GNSO Improvements Group, but I don't track what they do.
That's specifically related to, GNSO improving the functioning and working of the GNSO Council as, as a body, not specifically looking at the output and, certain mechanisms they might have at hand apart from, reviewing the PDP. I mean, Barry refers to the operations working group in the comment, but they're specifically looking as well operational procedures of the GNSO Council as an administrative body. But again, I mean, if you know the council, if you feel that a certain group might be specifically fit to take on this role, you know, because many of you are maybe active in some of the other teams, you know, I think you definitely can include it, and the GNSO Council can consider whether that fits or whether a separate or new group will need to be created to address the question at hand.
Okay. Because what Rod's recommendation is basically that this be addressed somehow. He said either via PDP. PDP, by the way, would just be for kind of within the GNSO or an ICANN advisory group. I suppose one thing we could do is we kick the question to the council, say, here we have a problem. What's the best way to address it? And by the way, we might have some specific VPs we recommend to you in this paper. So I throw that question out. Should we basically ask, you know, in a recommendation, ask the council, okay, we recommend that you examine the best way to examine this issue and move it forward? Is that what we want to do? I see Mikey's hand up.
Thanks, Greg. This is Mikey. I think that this is the scope of this is beyond the GNSO. This is, and I think we ran into this in the Vast Lux working group too. That I remember generating a fair amount of electrical sparks when I brought up the fact that, you know, a lot of the issues we were talking about in Fast Flux really spanned more than just the GTLDs. They spanned CCTLDs, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that these meta issues, both of them actually, are like that. Certainly, given our charter, we should check with our sponsoring body, which is the council, and ask them what to do next. But I think that our recommendation might want to highlight the fact that the conversation should probably take place amongst a broader group of stakeholders than just within the GNSO. Because, you know, for example, this best practices thing isn't just an issue within the GNSO. It's clear that there's a need to disseminate, collect and disseminate best practices across all the facets of ICANN, and that while the GNSO might be able to sponsor it or champion it, I think we need to make sure that it doesn't accidentally stay just inside the GNSO boundaries, because I think that would be a big opportunity lost.
My this is Greg. My thinking was maybe do both, because my strategy was, well, the GNSO has some control over what it does. It doesn't have any control over what less control over what happens within the huge context of ICANN itself. I was thinking if we recommend it, we looked at it across ICANN and specifically within the GNSO, at least we might be able to spur some action within the GNSO.
Well, and you know, there's always the cop-out of a pilot project, but I think the key deal is to make sure that we don't limit the scope to just GNSO, because ultimately I think it's a broader issue than that.
Fair enough. I see James' hand.
Thanks, Greg. Little on the mute button there. Thank you. So I'm going to go ahead and contradict an earlier statement that I made earlier about this these meta issues being introduced early as possible into the report. I now think, after listening to Mike and Rod and reading some of their texts, that perhaps this is both important enough and also distinctly different enough from the core mission of this group that perhaps it warrants a separate report that could be sent to the GNSO in advance of any sort of draft or final. So just wanted to put that out there. Of course, we could reference it in our final report as an appendix, perhaps, or as a separate section. But I think that drawing, pulling a rope around all of these meta issues and sending them off to something to the body that's one level up might be something we would want to address before we dive too deeply into fleshing them out within this group's report. I just wanted to put that out there as a potential path forward.
This is Mikey. I'm going to build on that a little bit. One of the things I was contemplating as a question was whether we should circulate these drafts to the other working groups that, like Edner and stuff, for comment. And, James's notion of breaking it out into a separate document kind of lends itself to that. So I could go for that.
Yeah, Mikey, that's a great idea. If we can get the chairs and folks that are involved in some of the other groups to, sign on and even add to this, I think it, as you guys have identified, it transcends this particular group and probably should be put in front of some of those other folks as well.
This is Greg. I have a suggestion, because first, we're having enough of a challenge creating one report rather than two. We also have some time deadlines. But also, maybe what you propose does fit within the process we're currently pursuing, which is that by the 12th we have to produce an initial report. But then there's a comment period. And that comment period is designed for sharing an initial report, which is not fully baked in every way. And that might be a good time to share it with people, because it's gotten to a certain point. It's maybe not fully baked, but it's a lot of the way there. And that comment period is a very appropriate time to share it with other parties and gain input. Just as a practical matter, I'm a little wary of trying to break out a separate report and go up above the GNSO. But I would suggest maybe public comment period is a time to actively send this to some other folks and actively invite their comment. How does that sound?
That works for me. This is Mikey.
Yeah, this is James. I'm in agreement with that.
Okay.
This is Rod. I think I agree with that as well. I'm thinking the proposal to get people together and talk about meta issues out, kind of as a cross-group thing is basically forming our own working group and saying we're going to work on this, so, which is, kind of cool, but at the same time it might engender a little resistance from some quarters, I don't know.
Okay. So anyway, we're coming up at the end of the meeting, by the way. What is our next step? Does this recommendation section require some more work?
I would say yes.
Yeah. Why don't folks go to take some work on that during the week? This is material that we should put into the report somehow, and it's a meta issue. So we should put it in. I think we need to work on the recommendation and come back to it. And let's pick up next week. So we got through three pretty heavy issues today. That was very productive, I thought. What I suggest for the coming week is read through the paper as it stands. I'm also going to be flagging spots where we're missing material. Very soon what we have to do is we're going to have to start doing our online polling, and which we've discussed before. The idea there is we take all the recommendations, pull them out of the paper, and we give people, some time to mull them over, suggest edits or minority positions, and also do kind of straw polling to understand what levels of consensus we may have. That is a mechanism for them to have some calls around those specific issues and see if we can put things into a final shape. As always, the recommendations are the thing that people are going to concentrate on when they read the paper. Marika, I had a question for you. You have a staff retreat coming up. Is that next week?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
So you're available this week, but what's your ability to do work of any kind next week during the retreat?
I mean, I should have some time. I definitely have, you know, two long flights to cover, so I'm happy already to start working on, you know, some of the basic editing and trying to integrate some of the documents we discussed today. And I think as well there's some sections where maybe we as staff, especially on the scope issues, we might want to have a look and provide maybe some clarification, and, you know, especially what we discussed today as well, the difference between policy making and consensus policy development, to get some more clarity around that. So those are parts I think I'm ready to start working on. And for next week, I won't be able to be on the call on Monday as I'm flying at that time. But I think if the group wants to have a call, and I know as well, I think it's a public holiday in the U.S., so it's maybe another discussion part, but I think Margie is otherwise available to participate in the meeting.
Okay. Are you going to Marina Del Rey next week? Is that it?
Yes, correct.
Okay. I'll tell you what, why don't you and I schedule some time offline this week to talk just about administration of tracking the document and changes and so forth.
Okay.
And we'll also need to start discussing the setting up this polling as well. So why don't we take that as an action item offline? I see James's hand up. James, did you want to add something?
Yeah, very quickly. I noticed there's a preponderance of Americans on this call, and so I just wanted to ask if we are still on target for a call next week. Being Martin Luther King Day, I do have to make some notifications if I'm going to need to be available that day for a call. So I think just to confirm, we are planning on going forward with a call tomorrow or next week.
Thank you for mentioning that. I am hoping so, assuming that we have enough people to participate, of course. I know that it's not a holiday at my company, and I will be on duty that day. How about everybody else?
It is a company holiday, and I have to let some folks know if I'm going to be engaged in work activities on that day, because I think they make it up to me somehow. So.
Okay, Barry says he's available. How about everyone else?
I am available. I just want to confirm that we are or we aren't having it, so I can get some advance notice, that's all.
Yeah. Is there anybody else who can't make it?
I have a dream of a Monday without a... I
can't. Well, up to you.
Boo!
up to you completely. But it sounds like everybody else is probably working that day. So I would propose that we keep the meeting on as scheduled, just because we might be able to produce... And James, we'd certainly love to have you, but you do what you think is best for you.
Nope, I will confirm that I will be there next Monday. I just needed to, let some folks know internally. That's all.
Okay, you should get a couple hours off some other time then.
We're never really turn it off, do we, Greg?
Well, you saw I was emailing an old 11 o'clock last night.
Those subscribers on the...
subscribers on the... How about 2 in the morning?
The subscribers on the Pinner list probably saw the traffic about 2 o'clock in the morning over the weekend. So.
Yeah, nothing like an upcoming meeting to spur action. I'm guilty. We're on for next week then. Thanks, everybody, for today's meeting and the material that you produced in advance. Much appreciated. Let's be real focused this week on doing stuff on the list. We're not using that avenue perhaps quite as much as we could, but let's leverage it to the extent possible. And we'll talk same time next week.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, everyone. Good job.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.